Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your host and engineer for tonight's show, The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. This interactive program is designed to discuss a wide array of self-care initiatives for optimal health. Our basic understanding is to strive to allow you to understand the matrix of the human anatomy is our core concept. This show has been a journey since we started back in November, and it's been exciting. It's been a programming that has basically grown with all different types of individuals, all different types of business groups, different types of nationalities, and so forth and so on. But it's been a very exciting opportunity with our instructor from the School of Centometry. And we ask that you sit back and relax tonight. And while I'm talking, prior to people getting on the line, I want you to think in terms of where you are in your health currently, what you think about your health, if you have some issues, what to do about your health. So we want to make sure that you get a good understanding of how health works, how it affects your life, the mental aspects of health, the physical aspects of health, and how it affects your spiritual life as well. These deficiencies we have to address. If we intend to improve our lives in any shape, form, or fashion, if we intend to make our life better for ourselves, for our children, for our families, for our friends and our communities, we're going to have to begin to take full responsibility for what God has blessed us with, this human anatomy. We walk around with it 24/7, and most of us don't know how it works. Our perceptions are based on our knowledge, and knowledge is based on your experiences, and all life is the culmination of your life experiences and your life knowledge. But what knowledge are you using? What experiences have you had? And you have to ask yourself these questions: what, when, where, how? How have I gotten to this point? The information that I do have, is it proper information? Is it information I've gotten from some other source instead of the source of the true science of creation? We have to begin to think on how our knowledge and how minds and our thoughts have been shaped. And what we need to understand is who we are. That's the purpose of our show, The Science of Health and You. So we want to make sure that we get a good understanding. First of all, I can start off with just a few points that you need to know. If any of you during the course of this program have a question pertaining to the instructions, the class that we're in currently, and you want to address myself or you want to address the instructor, we ask that you press 1 on your phone, and we'll open your mic, have you introduce yourself, and ask the question pertaining to the program as we see fit. Once again, welcome to IWDM Radio, The Science of Health and You. We've had a good ride here. This journey has been beautiful. We've learned a lot about ourselves. We learned a lot about things that we didn't know. And we also found out that we don't know that we don't know. I think that's really important for us to realize that sometimes we think we know something and we really don't know that thing. And what this show has done for me, I don't know what it has done for you, but those of you who have been on the line must say one thing. We are currently educational program that we did not know before we got on this program. The information that's being delivered is comprehensive, it's holistic, it's detailed, but more importantly, it talks about you. Whoever thought that all these years, and I don't know what the age groups of those who are on the line today, that we went to school for all these years, and we find out by listening to the science of your cells, the science of the study of your cells, that we really didn't learn much about who we were. And we've been subjected to misinformation, disinformation, information about what we thought we knew, and we find out now that we really don't know what produces diseases. We don't know how our body works. We don't understand the systems that make us who we are, starting from the egg cell to the sperm cell to now you are here and don't have a clue on how you got here, how it functions, how it works. So we've been blessed to have a professor, and it's from the School of Symptometry out of Chicago, Illinois, talking about the therapeutics that focus solely on the well-being of the human cell. And we all know that we are nothing but 75 to 100 trillion cells in our makeup. And so we want to achieve one objective and put emphasis on cell nutrition, blood sanitation, regular cell maintenance. All these years we thought we knew. And we're here today to share with you that you're going to learn something that you had never learned before. Quite frankly, I just want to say this. We are sitting in an opportunity to learn so much information that doctors don't even get the information that you're about to receive today. We're in a classroom, and this classroom consists of cell maintenance. This classroom consists of root cause therapeutics that require us to learn and take good care of our health, our bone cells, our nail cells, our skin cells, our retinal cells, our lens cells, our lip cells, eye cells, heel cells. Everything about you is a cell. Our body is made up of over 200 cell types, and these cell types produce 11 systems. And I think I kind of led into what our show is going to be about tonight. We are in our fourth session of classroom understanding, classroom education about how and what and when our body works and the functionality of our body. You know, the thing that he left me with last week, I just had to say this again because it's just a remarkable statement that he made when he said, our liver has 600 functions. You know, and that just stuff, I've been studying it all week trying to get to the bottom of what he really meant by that. And so we're going to go through 11 systems. We're going to do an overview, shall I say, of the three classes that we had before. So you can kind of get an update, because some of you may be new to the phone lines today, and some of you probably don't know some of the things that are going to be said. So we're going to have our professor provide us with just kind of a slight overview of these first 15 minutes or so to bring you up to date. You know, if you didn't read or if you didn't participate in the classroom, now you have an opportunity to catch up and learn some things that you did know from the previous shows. And hopefully and prayerfully, we'll be able to package this in a way that you can be brought up to date. And those of you who do not or did not participate in the first three shows, there's an opportunity for you to get access to those particular shows to bring yourself current. So at the end of this 11-week session, you can say you passed. So without further delay, I want to take this opportunity and introduce to you Abdul Shaheed, our professor, our instructor, our teacher of symptometry, and I'll take this opportunity to allow him to give the greeting and get the show rolling. We have a beautiful show today, a flat-out beautiful show today, so I want you to get excited. But more importantly, I want you on your phone, just click over and call a friend. Call a husband, wife, say, get in here, listen to the show today, because we're in a classroom lab. We are in a science class. We are in a doctoral class. We're in a medical class. And you're not going to get this information anywhere else, and especially from Dr. Frankenstein. And what I mean by Dr. Frankenstein is those people who claim to be able to tell you, follow the science. Those individuals talk to us and tell us what to do and how to do, and don't give us any explanation on the basic structuring of how our body works. So get your pen, get your pad together, kick your shoes off, get your glass of water, because you're not going to want to get off the telephone when this show starts. So I want to take the time out to introduce my friend, Abdul Shaheed from Atlanta, Georgia. Assalamu alaikum, my good brother.
Salaam, salam, Brother Rashid. How's it going tonight?
Oh, it's absolutely wonderful. I'm so excited. I've been excited all day, and I want you to know that. So I hope everybody on the line is just as excited as I am, because finally we have an opportunity to learn about ourselves. It's so important. You know, self, take the F off. What does it say? Know thyself. So I think that's enough lead in for you today. I don't want to waste any more time. I'm excited and ready to go. Go ahead, my brother.
Absolutely. We'd like to give all praise and thanks to the Almighty for allowing us to be here this evening and for allowing our listening audience to be here with us. It's absolutely amazing what we're learning these days. And the whole effort is to improve the quality of our life. That's what it's all about, Brother Rashid. So we give all the praise and thanks to the Almighty. It's nothing that we've been doing ourselves. He's been guiding us all the way, all of us. He's guiding us. We all have a mission, a role in life, and we're seeking out that mission and that role. But here's the thing. We must optimize our health in order to carry out those missions, those functions, what we've been tasked to do. We've been sent here for a reason. We're not just here for sport and play. We were sent here by the Creator for a reason, each one of us. And so in order to figure that out, we have to optimize and improve our health. We have to cure our diseases because all of those things become distractions. And we will not have the brain power that we need to have to solve our problem, create opportunity. That's what it's about. So you mentioned that we're going to kind of like review. For the past few weeks, we've been talking about the 11 systems. See, our body, our collagenic fiber, sits on 11 systems. And last week we asked the question, what is a human being? What is a human being? The human being is a biological organism that requires high maintenance. It requires high maintenance, not low maintenance that we've been misled to believe. It requires high maintenance. So it's a biological existence that is interdependent, integrated, interrelated, interconnected, and it operates as one biological unit. So we have these 11 systems. These 11 systems are integrated, interconnected, interrelated, and it operates as one unit. Even though we have all these moving parts, all these 11 systems, our body is made of protein. There's collagen, collagenic fiber. It's not plant fiber. It's not animal fiber. It is human fiber called collagen. And it's made from protein. And we mentioned about the five food groups and all these things because it's all connected. We're putting this puzzle together, the human being. So we talked already about several of these systems. We mentioned the blood and the cardiovascular system. Our blood carries all of the resources to our cells. The resources to our cells. The raw material to our cells. Our cells need raw material. Those are the nutrients. And they need resources. The resources are the tools that our cells use to produce all our brain, body, and cell essentials. That's what they do. They're the manufacturers of all our brain essentials, body essentials, and cell essentials. Cell essentials is what the cells need to do their job, to carry out their function. And nothing is put together haphazardly. Everything is organized with a system, with system in mind. System in mind. And this is how our body is put together. The next system we spoke about was the reproductive system. The reproductive system. And, of course, that's male and female, and that's for procreation. So the blood carries the resources to all of the cells, and there's many things that can block the cell from the blood from getting into all of the cells. That will be a problem, and we're going to talk about that later, how that becomes a problem, how our own cell will activate diseases to get our attention, to let us know that blood is not getting to some part of the body. In the reproductive system that deal with procreation, we must keep the species evolving and moving forward. That's why procreation, reproduction, producing ourselves. Just like our cells divide and produce new cells, we as human beings have to do the same thing. We're on the same paradigm. The new must replace the old. The strong must replace the weak. And the normal must replace abnormacy. That's a universal law. Mm-hmm. And we are integrated within those laws. Next, we dealt with last week with the endocrine system, which deal with all of the glands, the hormones that our body produce, that our glands produce. It is hormone. It is neurotransmitter, neurochemicals, and those chemicals that control our behavior. Control our behavior.
Say that again.
Control our behavior. If we don't have these things in balance, we will be producing criminals in our society. What we see today, there's a root cause for why they're being produced. Criminals. Because of the chaotic way that they're eating and the cells are not getting the nutrients that they need to produce these hormones. While the hormones are being blocked based on what the person is eating. They're eating food high in mucilage that will block the ducts, keep the ducts from releasing the hormone, even if they can produce the hormone. But many of them can't produce them, or they're out of balance. We're eating food that contains saturated fat. Therefore, our liver is producing bad cholesterol, LDL, rather than producing HDL, good cholesterol. And all our glands are made with good cholesterol, not LDL, not bad cholesterol. That in itself will give us a cholesterol imbalance, which will cause our hormone also to be out of balance. So this week we're going to be talking about and discussing the respiratory system. And we see how each of the systems is connected. Interconnected. Integrated. Interdependent. And they operate as one biological unit. The human being also, we said previously, has two components. One that you can see and the one you cannot see. Just like everything else in the universe, the Almighty created everything in pairs. There's a pair for everything except the Creator. There's only one. So everything he created has a pair for it, plus and minus, up and down. So the human being has a pair. He has one part that we can see. We see our body, but you don't see the cells. There's other invisible part of us. We see our brain, but we don't see our mind. Our mind is the abstract part of our brain. It makes all of our decisions. Even though we know what's right and wrong, we don't have to make the decision that is right. We can go contrary. We have limited free will. And we can be taught what our cells need and what they require in order to keep us healthy, but it doesn't mean that we have to give it to it. That's the problem. If we make decisions that do not agree with what our cells need, that will be friction, tension, resistance, and inertia. Those are the tangents of negative energy, and this is how disease starts, always. It starts in the person's mind first. Then it manifests itself somewhere in the body, in the organ, in the tissue, in the blood, in the lymphatic system. This is how it's done. So when we break these laws, the rules to health, universal laws, and the laws of physics, our body will give us signs and symptoms to indicate to us that we're veering off the paradigm of normalcy, and we should get back in line if we want to be normal again, or be in balance again, or achieve homeostasis again. Then we can proceed to become optimally healthy. We have to cure all of our diseases, all of them. So this is the science of health and you. And we welcome you all tonight on the call. And I hope you take notes. I hope you take notes. And make notes of questions as well, so we can entertain them. But before we get started, Brother Rashid, there's three factors that make biological existence possible on this planet. We want to bring these three factors to the mind of our listener. Then we're going to be talking about the respiratory system and its main function, main objective.
biggest.
Three factors that made biological existence possible that no one probably have shared with us that we need to reflect on. First, there was atomic collision. This is how everything got started. The Almighty created the atom, and the atom created everything else we see in the universe, including human beings. We are the product of atomic collision. That means the atom collided because of kinetic energy, kinesis within them that made them unstable and caused them to jiggle, and they began to collide with each other. That produced all of the tangents of energy and created the force that was needed to bring about spontaneous existence of the matrix. The matrix is the ground sustenance that the human being is made up of. And that matrix has to be repaired, has to be replaced, has to be rejuvenated, must be renewed. And it happened through automation, but we have to do our part. So it is because of automation, replacement, and rejuvenation that our cells are able to divide. And because of that, that law, that new must replace the old. Because of that law, universal law, the strong must replace the weak. And the normal must replace abnormalcy. Because if not, we will have symptom and disease. And the symptom and disease, they are not meant to kill us. They are meant for us to get things back in line with the cells, to realign our mind with what the cells need so the cell can restore normalcy, not man. This is how the Almighty created it. So we had atomic collision, number one. Number two, spontaneous existence of the matrix. And number three, spontaneous production and activation of enzymes. The first enzyme that would probably produce after atomic collision with oxidase. That's an enzyme that combined oxygen with hydrogen to produce water on this planet. And the human being is 94% water, 6% nutrients, and the earth is mostly water. We're the microcosm of the universe. So the laws that govern the universe also govern our physiology and anatomy. And this is what the American School of Symptomatry teach. This is what symptomatic science is based on. It's based on the universal law that the Almighty created the universe out of. That is the foundation, the oldest laws in the universe. That's what underpins symptomatic science called symptometry. So remember those three biological factors that brought about biological existence. And that's why we are here today. That's what produced us. So remember, atomic collision, the atoms. The atom is the model of perfection. If no one has ever told you, now you know. It is the atom. Produced everything in the creation, including humans. So before we get started, we'd like to also talk about the manual, the life manual, because not one of us came here with a manual in our hand to teach our parents how to take care of us. And we've said many times on various shows that there's a manual for our car, there's a manual to our home. We buy computers, we buy phones, all these things come with a manual, give you instruction, direction, troubleshooting and all these things. But the most complex creature on the planet, the human being, did not come here with a manual. Don't you think we think that the parent need to be taught how to take care of that person? Brother Rashid, do you think the parent need to be taught how to take care of the person?
I think so.
That they bring it to this world? Do you think the parent needs to know what to be eating while they're pregnant with the baby? what food they should be avoiding. So the baby do not come here with all these different diseases, and they come here with a strong and firm foundation. They have the three nervous system intact that carry them throughout their lifetime, making excellent decisions about their affairs. If these three nervous systems not firm and do not have the foundation that they need, the person would be making a lot of mistakes. And they will repeat those mistakes. So no one was born with a manual showing the genes that they have and the genetic weaknesses that they have and their chromosome anomaly that they have and the food that they have problem with. That something was written out, got a printout. It said, don't feed your baby this food. Don't feed your baby corn. Don't feed your baby citrus fruit. Don't feed your baby soda, coffee, and tea. Don't feed your baby beans and peas and string beans and all these different things. Don't feed your baby eggs. After 4 years old, don't feed your baby milk. Nobody warned the parent, told the parents. So they did the best they could, Brother Rashid.
Yes, sir.
So they didn't have a food list to guide them like we have today. Now today we have the truth about life on planet Earth thanks to symptometry, the most natural and scientific means to address the needs of the living cells of the human being. That's what it is. It is our cells that give us life. It is our cells that can restore our health. It is our cells that can reverse any disease. All diseases are curable because the cells know exactly what to do because they have atomic intelligence. They are gifted with it. We just got to figure out what to give them in terms of raw material and resources. That's our job. That's what the mind has to figure out. And that has been done, too, because of symptometry. It's already been done for us. So now we have the truth. We have symptometry we can draw from. So what are we going to do? We're going to stick with the status quo as they are, knowing that we're going in the wrong direction. People are getting sicker and sicker. They're trying everything. They use pharmaceuticals. They use herbs. They use food. They pigeonhole themselves as vegan and vegetarian. All these things. And still they have their disease. And they take their disease to the grave. So now we have to have a change of mindset, Brother Rashid.
Yes,
and
sir.
We have to look at these things differently. It is sometimes just bringing our attention to certain things to change our mindset. Because that's where disease and health starts, in the mind. It starts in the invisible part of the person, like I said earlier, and it manifests itself somewhere in the human body. Health and disease both starts in the person's mind first. If you don't have a change of mindset, there's no way you can cure your disease. No way. Starts in the mind. If we follow our mind and take care of the needs of our cells, the cell will reward us with good health. That's how it works. That's how it works. No other way. And that's the emphasis, the cells, and our ability to produce neurons, our ability to produce enzyme surplus every single day. A surplus of enzyme, having more than what we need, that's what surplus means. The two types of enzyme. Digestive enzyme to digest our food. Many of us are eating food that's indigestible. We can't digest it. So you're wasting your enzyme. You're wasting the effort. After you produce the enzyme, you're wasting the effort. Then we need ancillary enzyme for repairing our body, for maintaining our body, for removing debris, for removing clear inflammation, for producing other brain and body essentials. To restore the genes, to restore DNA, to restore the chromosome, to repair the RNAs. All these things must happen so our body can be renewed on a schedule of renewal. Some of us have too many old cells in us, and we can't produce new cells. That's why our body continues to fall apart every single day, day by day, week by week, month by month. So our neurons do not divide like our cells divide, and they live for a very short time. Once they achieve their objective, they're gone, and we have to produce them by the billion and trillion every single day. Do you know how to do that? Do you know how to produce neurons? It is neurons that drives the brain and the body. If yours are calcified because of the food that you're eating, saturated fat you're consuming, if they become calcified, that means they cannot serve their purpose. And you will have fewer of them because you won't be able to replace them. So as you age, you have fewer and fewer neurons to operate the body, the brain, and produce cell essentia. Fewer and fewer and fewer of them. And you begin to lose faculties, memory, cognition, creativity, and on and on and on. This is what happened, brother and sister. So Synthometry have developed a health life manual for us to utilize. This is what we need to know. So let's spend some time talking about the respiratory system. The respiratory system. The respiratory system consists of a group of passages that filter incoming air and transport it into the body, into the lung, into many of the microscopic areas, the air sacs, where gas exchange takes place. This entire process of exchanging gas between the atmosphere and our body is called respiration. This is the respiratory system. Why do we have to have air? Why do we need to breathe? That's a good question. Because if you can't breathe, you don't have to worry about eating. That problem will be solved for you. If you cannot breathe, you don't have to worry about eating. So people are stuck on eating, Brother Rashid.
Mm-hmm.
And we ask them the question, why are plants on planet Earth? It's connected with breathing, not with eating. See, we have to have a mindset change. Plants are on planet Earth to make the air breathable for humans. Think about it. The plants take in carbon dioxide that we breathe out, and they give up oxygen. We breathe in the oxygen and the waste byproduct that we exhale out. It's carbon dioxide. So we have a perfect mutual relationship with plants. The main function of plants on planet Earth is to make the air breathable for us to exist here. That's it. We don't even think about that because we take so much for granted. If we don't breathe, we won't have to worry about eating and selecting our food. And then you won't have to argue with me about, I can't eat that, I can't eat this. There's no food for me to eat. You heard that before, Brother Rashid?
Yeah, I surely have. I surely have.
If you can't breathe, you won't have to worry about that. So the primary reason we have plants on planet Earth is to purify the air. All of them are involved. All of them. And it is because some of them we might be able to eat. Some of them. How to eat to live. There's no way you can eat to live if you do not use science to select the food that you're going to eat. You'll be eating to die, and that's what most people are doing. They're eating to die. Or food is killing them. Whatever disease they have, 94% of the time, it came from the food that they ate. Case closed.
94%.
That's what happened. Case closed. 94% of their diseases came from what they ate. And they worried about eating more stuff. Absolutely incredible. So this is why we need science to select our food. Science, not religion, not for taste, not because it looked good, not because my Aunt Susan made it for me, and now I have to eat it. Not for those reasons. Those are for wrong reasons. We eat food to nourish ourselves. It's not even nutrition. It's elevated from nutrition. It's called cell nourishment. Because if you can eat food, Brother Rashid, it doesn't mean that it's going to nourish the cell. If it's filled with poison, toxic acid, strong sugar, coal tar derivatives, and other things, contamination from microbes and other things, it's not going to be nourishing to the cells. It's going to poison the cells. It's going to denature your enzyme. You won't have an enzyme surplus. Your enzyme will be wasted. And you will activate a disease. This is the process. This is what happened to us. Because we're not using science to select our food. So now we have respiration. It is the movement of air in and out of our lung. Commonly called breathing or ventilation. This is part of the process sometimes called external respiration. We breathe in oxygen and we breathe out carbon dioxide. And many other things are taking place there during that process. There's a gas exchange that takes place in our lung between the air we breathe and our blood to create oxygenated blood. Oxygenated blood is pumped throughout our body, through every part, because it is resources that's in the blood. All of the resources are in the blood. All of the nutrients are in the blood. They're in the form of ion. They turn it back into atoms again so they can penetrate the cells. If a person has low blood pressure or high blood pressure, then it will be very difficult for their cell to be nourished. I don't care how good a food that they eat. It can be organic, natural, and all those things. Doesn't make any difference. If they have high blood pressure, low blood pressure, the heart will not have the strength to push those ion or nutrients into the cell. Therefore, the cell will be malnourished, not nourished. If the cells are malnourished, they cannot produce what they need to produce to keep the person healthy on a paradigm of normalcy. So abnormal will begin to take over, will be the rule of the day, because they will not have the energy that the cells would need. And because they do not have what they need, the cell themselves will create concretion, because there's a principle in quantum physics that states emptiness does not exist. If what our cells need to have, and if it's not there, they will produce negative energy to make up the difference, to make up the void. There can be no void. The void must be filled with something, and that something is going to be negative energy that's going to activate a disease. This is what happened. This is why we have to always stay in a state of balance, in a state of normalcy. The moment we detect a disease, we should start working on to cure the disease, not allow ourselves just to be treated or to have our symptoms just to be treated. So we have a transport system of transporting gases in the blood between the lung and our body cells. Gas exchange must take place in the lung. So as the blood is circulated throughout the body, and it comes back to the lung, because the oxygenated blood now has been distributed. It comes back to the lung to add more what? To reoxygenate the blood. That cycle goes on and on and on and on. Thousands of times during the day. So our heart pumps oxygenated blood through all of the cells, the tissue, the organs, all these things. And then the blood goes back to the lung to be oxygenated again, to have oxygen placed in it again. So that's gas exchange. What happens if the gas exchange does not take place or is being blocked, or the enzyme that the cells need for that exchange to take place is not happening? They can't produce it because of what you ate. The food you ate is blocking that exchange from taking place between the blood and the cells. This is how more disease would be activated. So the part that's engaged in this respiratory system include the nose, the nasal cavity, the sinuses, the larynx, the pharynx, the trachea, bronchial tree, the lungs. And since our body is integrated, interconnected, of course, we have to have the heart too, even though the heart is part of the circulatory system. But it's very difficult to connect, to talk about one system and not engage other system, because our body is integrated, interconnected, interdependent, and it operates as one unit. It works all together, all the different members, different systems, but working as one unit. And we can spend days on these various parts. That's what the doctors deal with. They study parts of the body. They study how they work, their function, and how they are named. But cytometry focuses on how to keep them healthy, what make them healthy, so they can keep carrying out their role and responsibility to keep us healthy. For if our cells are strong and healthy, the human, the person, will also be strong and healthy. And if the cells are sick and decrepit, so will the person be. There's a connection there. And that's how it's done. That's how it works. That's how it works. Very, very important. So our respiratory system is designed in such a way that we have to breathe in oxygen. Why do we need oxygen? I think that's a good question, Brother Rashid. Why do we need oxygen? Why do we have to breathe in oxygen? What's in the oxygen? What is oxygen all about? Why is oxygen so important? You think any of us ever get up in the morning and wonder, why is oxygen so important? Why I got to have this? We get up wondering about what we're going to eat for breakfast. We don't think about how oxygen is important and the quality of the oxygen. We don't even think about it. We take it for granted that it's going to be there. But soon you don't have it. You see how much you'll be struggling trying to get some. You forget all about eating. You'll be trying to get some air, some oxygen. If you have any breathing problem at all, this is what the person's trying to do. Because they know oxygen, getting it, is number one, not eating. So much we take for granted. So we're going to discuss the importance of oxygen. This is what this system is spreading throughout our body. The respiratory system is carrying oxygen, and it's in our blood. So therefore, there's oxygenated blood. How does the blood become oxygenated? There again, it won't happen without enzyme. If you can't produce the enzyme, you're always going to have a breathing problem. And that eventually will take your life. It will eventually compromise your heart and your lungs. And all the other organs will follow. So we're talking like this to ensure that your health has to be a priority in your life. And it's the food that causes us the most problem that we take for granted. And I hope that message is getting through, Brother Rashid. It's the food. We have to use science to select the food that we're going to choose to eat. Otherwise, we should avoid them. Oxygen is the molecule that holds a person's support base together. What's the support base? Our collagenic fiber, the protein that we're made up of. Everything about the human being is protein. The DNA is a protein unit. The RNAs, they're a protein unit. The genes, protein unit. The chromosome, protein unit. Our structure, collagenic fiber, protein. Now, answer this question. Why are there so many of us want to eat a plant-based diet when we're not plants? Why? We have to ask the question, how do we come to that conclusion? It is because we've been miseducated and misguided, misinformed. That's why. That's why so many of us are sick. We're animal, human collagen. We should eat what we're made up of. Our diet should consist of 75% protein, 25% starch. And starch represents plant food. Because cellulose, another name for cellulose, or for starch, is cellulose. And we can't digest cellulose. That's why we have to cook all plant food. We have to cook them. And that's another argument we always have. If I can't eat it raw, see, we're misinformed. All plants on planet Earth produce at least three poisons. They produce at least three poisons, Brother Rashid, that people have to know about. We take so much for granted. Why do they produce poison? Because they have DNA. Every biological organism that has DNA must produce a defense mechanism in order to exist on this planet. So plant's defense mechanism is poison, producing poison, the ability to produce poison so they can survive. They're not thinking about us coming to eat them. You think they wanted just for us to eat them? No, they want to exist. Longevity is good for them as well as for us, longevity. And they have in their system the mission for longevity, to stick around as long as they can. Every biological organism mission is longevity, except, seems like, the human being. He's willing to give it up, commit suicide, or make bad choices. Life is about making choices. That's what it's about. For every choice we make, there are consequences. Good choices, good consequences. Bad choices, bad consequences. Everything come in pairs, just like we said earlier, even those decisions that we make. Even those decisions that we make every day. This is how it is. We think we're free to do what we want. Yes, within perimeters, then the physical world, the creation itself, will fight back against us. And we don't have enough forces in us to overcome them. That's why we have to maintain our health. So we stay in the normalcy. That's the perimeter. Normalcy is the perimeter. So oxygen is a molecule that holds our personal support base together. This support base consists of a collagen infrastructure called system, and we have 11 of them. All of our system sits on this collagenic fiber, protein, and salt. The many people that don't want to use salt, salt binds the collagen. It binds and holds them together. So we must use iodine salt in cooking our food, Brother Rashid. Not the Himalayan salt, not rock salt, not iodine sea salt, not pink salt. There's a lot more to salt than you think. You know, salt have cations and anions, positive charges and negative charges. If you eat the salt or use the salt, they have more anion than cation. Your body will be loaded with negative energy. That's what sickness and disease starts with, negative energy. Believe it or not. 11 systems make up our human body, and about 75 trillion cells that that Brother Rashid already mentioned that make up the 11 system. This is why oxygen must always be in every cell, every organ, every gland, every tissue, every membrane. I said every, in order for the person to be what? Healthy. Isn't that amazing, Brother Rashid?
Yo, yes, it is.
Oxygen must be in every organ, every gland, every tissue, every membrane, etc., for the person to be healthy. And there are so many things to block oxygen, especially when we eat chaotically and do not use science. All the poison in the plant food I mentioned will be blocking oxygen. You will not be able to produce iron-rich blood. You'll be eating food that are iron inhibitors. You will not have hemoglobin. It is iron that produces the hemoglobin. It must be attached to the red blood cell, the enzyme that attaches it. Otherwise, you're going to have breathing difficulties. Many of your cells and your system and your organ and your tissue will be lacking oxygen. They will not be able to perform at their best. And since they will not be able to perform at their best, you will be out of state of normalcy. Over time, that will activate a disease. And those cells, within those cells, within the nucleus of those cells, the DNA will become fragmented. And it will never receive the blueprint from the genes, the instructions, to pass on to the cells, telling them what to do, what to make, how to make it. They will be either idle or they'll be acting on their own. They'll become mutated, creating tumors and cancer and everything else going awry because they will not be able to receive the instruction, the blueprint, the direction, how to make acetylcholine, serotonin, melatonin, norepinephrine, epinephrine, dopamine, substance P, encapsulin, all these neurotransmitters. They won't be able to make them. They won't be able to produce neurons. And the cell will not divide, producing new cells without oxygen. I hope I'm getting clear and through to you all. I hope I'm making it plain and simple. I'm trying to take the complexity out of it and make it simple in everyday terms. The people who wrote the book on anatomy and physiology, they made it very complicated. And a layperson like us would not understand what the heck they're talking about. It takes a school like the American School of Symptomatry to break this down so we can understand it and speak our language, so we can make the informed decision and change our paradigm, our thinking, our mindset. So just a little bit more about oxygen. The presence of oxygen, unfortunately, in the cell is not enough to make a person healthy. Oxygen must be involved in gas exchange. And here's the big million-dollar question. It is the depression in the red blood cell that make gas exchange between carbon dioxide and oxygen possible. Brother Rashid.
Yes, sir.
This is the reason why the red blood cells do not have a nucleus. That space in the center of the cell, of the red blood cells, is there to house the hemoglobin. So the nucleus has been erased or removed by an enzyme. The nucleus, I repeat, the nucleus has been erased. Every cell is supposed to have a nucleus except the red blood cell. So there's an enzyme that our body will produce to erase the nucleus from the cell of the red blood cell. so that hemoglobin would take the place of the center of the red blood cell. Absolutely incredible. Without that enzyme, you would not have hemoglobin attached to the red blood cell. Without that enzyme, the nuclear would still be there in the red blood cell. And it's not supposed to be. It must be gone, erased, leaving that space for oxygenated blood. Isn't that amazing? But this is what happens. So oxygen to be in every cell, the arteries and the arterioles and the capillary must transport red blood cell to our nail bed, to our hair follicle, to our kidney, to our liver, to the pancreas, to the muscle, to the nerve, to the colon, on and on and on. And if a blockage prevents blood flow to any part of the body, that blockage must be removed. Doesn't that make sense, Brother Rashid?
Yes, it does.
If there's a blockage between the blood and where it needs to go, that blockage must be removed. Oh, yeah, they have surgery that will remove blockage from the heart. But that blockage in the heart, in the blood vessels, the nerves that's feeding back to the heart, and in the artery that goes out from the heart. If that blockage is there, there's an indication that blockage is the other part. That's the principle in quantum physics. Whatever is above is also below. So if you have blockage in your heart, you have blockage below the heart. So what are you going to do? You're going to put a stent in all of the other part of the body? No, they just put one in the heart to keep you living. Just to keep you living. You won't be healthy, but you'll keep living. Because if you have blockage and plaque everywhere else too. But they don't know how to remove it, Brother Rashid. They don't know how to remove it. There are three processes to be used to remove blockages. Oxidation, hydrolation, and ionization are those three processes. It is the same three processes that remove poison and toxin and concretion from our system as well. I repeat them. Oxidation, hydrolyzation, and ionization. We remove them. So the blockage must be removed in our veins, arteries, capillaries. Must be made strong, must be strengthened, especially after getting an education and finding out what food we're eating that is compromising them, that are weakening them, cause them to collapse, where blood is not going into the cell, but it's going into the tissue because of capillary fragility, where they will collapse. So we have to strengthen the capillary. That's part of our infrastructure. And at the same time, we have to strengthen the heart because it is the heart that's pumping the blood, oxygenated blood, by the way, to all parts of the body. So a person could be eating food with oxygen, could be breathing air that contains oxygen, and oxygen is also in the water that we drink. But because of blockages, it will be still many places in the human body that will not have oxygen. Why? Because oxygen does not flow or circulate freely in the human body. Just like you would put oxygen in a room or put oxygen in a tank or put oxygen in a bottle, in our body, it does not circulate freely, Brother Rashid. Because we're made out of protein, collagen. So oxygen must circulate in pathway, just like all of the other nutrients in our body. There's a pathway for every nutrient to enter the cell, Brother Rashid.
Mm-hmm.
So if the pathways are blocked, because of what we've been consuming, then the majority of our cells or our cell would be void of oxygen. It would lack oxygen. And those pathways are created by magnesium, the mineral magnesium. Magnesium pathway is what directs oxygen into the cells. How many people know that?
I'm sure very few of us do.
We just think that all we got to do is breathe some air, and, hey, we're fine. No. If there's blockages, if the pathway collapses, or if they're blocked, many cells of your body will not have oxygen. If the cells do not have oxygen, they cannot divide. Because cell division takes force. It is force in the oxygen. Oxygen is the mother of all forces in the human body. It produces other forces. That's one of the resources that the cells use. Force. Energy. Thermal energy. Electrical energy. Magnetic energy. Atomic energy. Nuclear energy. Thermal energy. All these various energy are resources for our cells to carry out their job. They're tools. And they're many more resources. Many more of them. So I know I can go on and on, Brother Rashid. I know the time is getting away from us.
Yeah, it is getting away.
Time is getting away from us.
And that's okay. We have some time left. And I do want opportunity for those of us who have some questions. And once again, I want to thank those who are on the line tonight. And welcome to IWDM Radio, the science of health in you. If you have a question about some of the information that has been shared tonight, please press 1 on your phone, and you'll come into the queue, and I'll open the mic up, and you can ask the question pertaining to the subject matter on the respiratory system. You know, it's just so exciting to get information that we've never heard before and then know how to apply it. And the beautiful part about your presentation is that not only you tell us about our system, but what causes our system to function. So the dysfunctionality that you're talking about here. And I just want to ask one question before no hands are raised at this point. You mentioned that plants, what their job is. So in essence, what you're saying, if a plant is processing oxygen and carbon dioxide, then there's a system there too. And then when you say that plants have a poison in them, so it's a whole mechanism of operation in the universal order of things, and we really have to use science to make determinations on what we eat, how we eat, and how we cook our food. So I just want to put that out there for someone who may want to know a little bit more about that. And the lungs is something I want to talk about. And then I also want to share with everyone tonight that we had an opportunity with my daughter who was having a Dr. Shaheed shared it with you. She was having a problem with headaches. She was having a problem with breathing, and she was having a problem with temperature. So I called Abdul Shaheed up, and he got Dr. Nordy on the telephone. And when you start talking about breathing, you start talking about headaches and things of that nature, what she was having, can you just show the relationship to that in a young girl based on what her mother ate during pregnancy? And I think it's exciting. This is a hands-on first-class experience that I had. I was worried about my grandbaby. She's 5 years old, getting up in the middle of the night screaming about her head's hurting, and, "Mommy, I can't breathe," and not knowing. So she goes to the doctor, and they diagnose it. But guess what they did? Send her back home, telling her to take some Tylenol. So if you could share that with the radio listening audience today, I would appreciate it. We do have some hands that are raised. So I will get 510-517 pretty soon and 314-833. Once he answers this question, I'll open up your mic.
Yeah, your granddaughter was diagnosed with telecythemia, which means that there's not enough oxygen holding molecules that's in the blood. No blood cell. Not enough oxygen holding molecules. Because the size of the blood cells. basically, and the size of the hemoglobin. And the first question Dr. Naughty asked your daughter, what did she recall eating while she was pregnant with her daughter? And that's, of course, almost 6 years ago, more than 5 years ago. Right.
Right.
So he started quizzing her on what she was eating. And she got to one thing, and it was legumes. Legumes. Legumes are peas, beans, lentils, and those kind of things. String beans, all those things. Navy beans, butter beans, you name it. Black-eyed peas. Those things are called legumes. Legumes produce a poison called spuntane. It's a poison.
Mm.
And it's an alkaloid. Matter of fact, it's an alkaloid that's heat resistant. And we mentioned what alkaloids are on this program. It's something that's produced by plants, and it's heat resistant, which means you can cook the food and it still will be there in the food. Therefore, if the person eats them and they reach a saturation point in their system where they cannot eat them anymore, it's kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back. It wasn't one straw. It was the last straw. Because they had many straws that had been piled on, right? That's the idea. So that's a saturation point. So you eat that food again, and then you will have these problems. So since she ate that food, that means spuntane blocked the enzyme called spectrum to help to attach iron to the hemoglobin in the red blood cells. Isn't that amazing? That's what happened.
It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
That's an enzyme.
Absolutely amazing. Yeah, she was
spectrum.
So excited. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She was so excited about the information because she didn't know what to do. I mean, she was at her wit's end on that. So I appreciate that. And I'm going to open up the lines for several people. And once again, welcome to IWDM Radio, the science of health in you. We have Instructor Abdul Shaheed on the line from American School of Symptometry, who he's a professor there teaching classes. And basically, we are in a class right now, whether you know it or not. We're getting medical assistance on a level that you never have gotten it before. So I'm going to open the lines for 510-517. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Nazim Pasha, calling from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Nazim.
How you doing? Assalamu alaikum.
How you doing, sir? I'm really getting enlightened tonight. Just want to try to ask a twofold question. It's in reference to the prostate cancer or prostate problems that usually men of my age get in contact with and everything. And from what I'm hearing you saying, it seems to be much of it is due to our diet. So how do we reverse it? How do we get it in shape? I know what they're going to recommend and whatnot, but what do you recommend if someone's having or been diagnosed with prostate cancer problems? What do you recommend we do?
Excellent question. Come to symptometry.
Thank you, Nazim.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Come to symptometry. Thank you for that question. Come to symptometry, and we'll set up a consultation with Dr. Maxwell Norton. He's the doctor of symptometry. He's in a position to prescribe these two things I'm getting ready to share with you. They're called particulates. Particulates are subatomic particles. We said earlier that the human being is a result of atomic collision, atoms colliding. So we go back to the very beginning. In order to cure disease, we go back to the beginning. We use subatomic particles, atoms, to remove and correct the DNA, the genes, and the chromosome. That's where the problem lies. It becomes a toxin and poison in the food, compromise the genes, cause them to be incapacitated. What are the genes for? The gene releases the blueprint. Those are a set of instructions for the cell. The gene has to release the blueprint to who? To the DNA. And because of the food that you ate, the poison in the food, the toxin in the food, caused the DNA to be fragmented. Every time it tried to unwind, attempt to unwind to receive the blueprint, it breaks off. So the gene will not budge. Listen to me carefully. I'm explaining to you how you reverse diseases, all of them, to making a difference where it happened in the body or what name they call it. This is the process. If I can understand it, a layperson had no medical background, anyone can understand this. You just have to be taught and given the correct information, truth. So since the DNA cannot unwind, the gene would never burst to release the blueprint. The person's disease would get more and more chronic. And, of course, with prostate issue, they will call it cancer eventually. They start off being the prostate could be just inflamed with a toxin that's not receiving nutrients for so many years. They did not receive HDL, good cholesterol, for so many years because it was blocked by concretion, poison, toxic, you name it. Those things have to be removed. So if the DNA is unable to unwind, the disease will become more chronic. So there are enzymes for repairing the DNA, the genes, and the chromosome. Those things work together with the three RNA to restore the person's health, the health of the organs. So we use subatomic particles, the first thing, to remove the poison, the toxin, and dissolve those things that surround the cells of the prostate. The cell membrane of the prostate is blocked or calcified because of the food that you ate. Now, once the blockage has been removed, there are molecules, dehydrated nutrient, that have been properly combined by scintometrists. And lipid molecule, those are the oils. Those are the essential fatty acids to help the cell to produce, the liver to produce good cholesterol, and also to prevent the cell from becoming calcified. And it is essential fatty acids that help the cell to attach the hemoglobin to it, iron-rich blood. Then that iron-rich blood will enter the prostate after the DNA has been repaired. Once the cell receives the nutrient after the blockage has been removed, the first thing that the cell would do would create an enzyme called DNA polymerase. What do you think that's for? Is the caller still on the line?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just listening. Yeah. Was that a question to me?
Yes, that's a question. What do you think that DNA polymerase is for? That's the enzyme. What do you think that does?
Well, it must combine with whatever else we're looking for to give it the needed, whatever it is.
Okay, we mentioned that the DNA was fragmented, right? Breaking off.
Right.
That enzyme repairs it. So it will stop breaking off, so it completely unwinds. Once it gets in that perfect condition, the gene will release the blueprint to it.
Wow.
Once the gene releases the blueprint, the DNA will unwind and pass it on to the messenger RNA that comes within the nucleus of the cell. That messenger RNA will take it out of the nucleus and transfer it to the transfer RNA, and the transfer RNA will pass it on to the ribosomal RNA to make the essential that will restore the health of the prostate.
Okay.
Wow.
Did you understand what I just said?
Yes, yes.
That's what cures it. That's what cures prostate issue and any other issue. Works the same way. The option that they give you, number one, surgery to remove the prostate, you can still die from prostate cancer without having one. Did they tell you that?
No, no.
Okay. Can you imagine removing the prostate and you still die from prostate cancer? And your PSA will continue to go up?
Ridiculous.
That's a possibility. That's a possibility. Strong
because
possibility.
You haven't eliminated the thing that was causing the problem in the beginning, right?
Exactly. They only treated the symptom. The symptom isn't the root cause. The symptom is the indication that your prostate is compromised and things are out of balance and that it's not being nourished for so many decades. That's why the PSA went up in the first place. The PSA is a symptom warning you. You need to do something to correct the prostate issue in your cells. Remove the concretion, nourish the prostate, and the cell will do what they've been created to do to restore the health of the prostate. Every other organ works the same way. Every disease, doesn't make a difference what name they call it or where it's located in the body. I keep saying that. Now, at the same time you do that, you have to change your diet and change your lifestyle. Those two things that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us to do. He was good at it. Person joined the Nation of Islam back then, they changed the diet. And they didn't form about it. They didn't argue about it. They didn't fuss with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad about it. If they wanted to be a Muslim during that time, they changed their diet. First thing. The second thing they did, they changed their lifestyle. They stopped drinking liquor. They stopped smoking weed. They stopped intoxicating. They stopped chasing women and all these different things. Am I right?
Yeah.
Same thing. If you want to be healthy, that's things that you have to do. You have to live within the parameter, the rule. There are rules. There's rules to health. There's laws of physics. And there's universal laws. Every time we break them, our body will give us a warning. That's what the symptom is doing, warning us. Even that's what the disease is doing. They're not meant to kill us. They're meant for us to correct things, but no one has taught us that those things. That's what symptometry is for, to teach us. Properly.
Well, I thank you very much. I mean, I'd like to get the number to call to make the appointment.
Yeah, I'll be giving my number out before we get off the program, and then we will follow through from there. And that's it. We can change the person's diet. We work with the person, and all diseases are curable, and we become disease-free the way we're meant to be. So we can use our brain for other activities.
Thank you, Brother Evan. We appreciate the phone call. I'm sure you probably answered some questions for some other people as well who are on the phone, especially men. We have a tendency to not want to ask personal questions and things of that nature, but that was a very powerful question, and I'm sure it applies also to women in some shape, form, or fashion.
Absolutely.
We do have a couple of questions on the on my phone here, and I want to get this other hand that's raised, 314-833. I think it's our public broadcast, public service announcer, but let's see. Is that Mark? Is you?
Yes, it's an MLA call.
Well, look at the line, probably man, Mark Shaheed.
Alhamdulillah. Wow, boy, I tell you, a lot of great, great information. Look, I'm going to be real quick here. I love that you say that the disease and health, it starts in the mind. And you said a lot of things in terms of this respiratory system and the oxidation of the blood, how important that is. My question is, you know, in looking at what I call this plandemic instead of pandemic, this mask wearing and what it is that we're supposed to be taking in, you've already, convinced me how important oxygen is and even what the natural creation of plant life is to do in aiding in good, clean air and inhaling that. So now all these mandates and everything in terms of continuously wearing your mask, and there are people wearing masks 8, 10, 11, 12 hours a day, and the process that the Creator has put into place where you're inhaling and exhaling. So you're supposed to be inhaling oxygen, but if you got a mask on, then you're not doing that. But when you exhale, you're exhaling carbon dioxide. So now when you talk about this system, then how is it functioning in terms of what is it doing to the lungs, what is it doing to the blood, and what is it doing to us overall? That's my question. I hope that it's a beneficial question in terms of talking about how this respiratory system actually operates. Thank you. And you're doing an excellent job. Salaam alaikum.
That was one of the questions also that was on my phone, so I'll let you answer that. So I'm sure you answer two people at the same time on that one. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, probably a lot of others probably have that same question. Here's the deal. The people that's in charge, they either don't have the truth or they're not distributing the truth. That's all we can say about that. But we're not going to worry about them. We have the truth. And the truth is that we must be breathing oxygen. And we must exhale carbon dioxide. If we hold them, if we put a mask on our face, and then the carbon dioxide is held to our face, the carbon dioxide is toxic waste. It is waste. Here's the process. In the absence of oxygen, carbon dioxide poisoning would turn into carbon monoxide poisoning, killing the person. If we don't remove carbon dioxide, the longer it stays there and we're breathing it in, the carbon dioxide would elevate through the next level. It would transfer into carbon monoxide. And we already know what carbon monoxide would do. It has no odor, none of those things. A person can be in their car, and it would fill with carbon monoxide, and before they figure out what happened, if nobody comes to get them out of there, they would die. They would die because it's odorless. So the same thing happens when we have on a mask, especially if one is wearing one for 8 to 12 hours a day, 8 to 10 hours a day on a job. The carbon dioxide that held up to their face is supposed to be expelled from the body, not breathed back in. So the more carbon dioxide we're breathing back in, now our cell has to try to deal with that. The carbon dioxide that we're breathing back in is on the cell. They're going to transfer into carbon monoxide. This is what happened. And that is called carbaminohemoglobin. That's when the carbon dioxide is attaching itself to the hemoglobin, rather than oxohemoglobin, where oxygen is being attached to the hemoglobin. Carboxohemoglobin will cause tissue hypoxia, lack of oxygen, in the nerve tissue, in the bone tissue, in the muscle tissue. As a result, all of the muscle cells and the nerve cells will succumb to anoxia, a.k.a. hypoxia, lack of oxygen. Then the central nervous system will collapse, and death will occur. That's the process of dying. And most people, they might still be up and about, but they'll be compromised. Their health will be compromised. They may have vertigo. They may have, they might even experience seizures. They might pass out, all trying to wear a mask. And the mask is not going to stop any virus. No mask will stop a virus. The virus is everywhere, people. I'm just telling you. The virus does not need a vector, a carrier. It's everywhere. Their mode of transportation is dust. And wind blows dust where? Everywhere. In your house, in your car, on the stairway, on your banister, over everywhere. On your clothes, on you, on your hair, on the mask. When you pull out a morsel of food from your plate, before you put it in your mouth, it's already engulfed by microbes. Already. It's engulfed by microbes. So it is our immune system that the Almighty blessed us with that we'll have a chance to talk about down the road. We'll be discussing the immune system fairly soon and how it functions and how it protects us from microbes. That is how it's done. The immune system, that's what it's for.
Brother Shaheed, okay. I mean, I'm telling you, man, I'm sitting here. Yeah, thinking I'm in a classroom that I can take any doctor on the planet and deal with it right now. that's how confident
they
I feel.
They probably
because,
be scared to deal
because
with you.
I know they don't teach us this. We know when we go to the hospital, they don't give us this information. We know they don't talk about poisons and vaccines, and they don't tell us anything that we need to know about how our body functions. And just for the listeners, I want you to know, welcome again to IWDM Radio. This show, The Science of Health in You, was put together for one reason, and you're getting the gist of what that reason is right now: education. We have to begin to unlearn so we can relearn what we think we know we don't know. So I hope no one was offended when I said we don't know we don't know. But that's
exactly
the fact. We don't know that we don't know. So when someone informs us of the type of information that we're getting today, it is truly a blessing from the Creator. We must recognize and understand that we must change the way we live our lives. So I just want to have a couple questions here that came in. And I'm chilling. I'm on fire tonight, y'all. I'm chilling because my grandbaby could have grown into some really serious problems today. We got an answer just with one phone call. What do you think your friends and your relatives, you know somebody who has a disease problem. You know you have people and your friends and relationships in your family that have problems. And, you know, we know a lot of people overweight. We know a lot of people inflamed. We got edema. We got all these different things. And to get this kind of information
and not share this kind of information. I pick up the telephone and say, man, you got to get on the phone. And I'm just going to be real with you. I'm just meeting you where you are. This is serious. We talk about children or our future, and we don't even know how to take care of our children. We don't know how to feed our children. And you wonder why our children, as you said earlier in the program, they're turning into criminal behavior because their mindsets have been affected by the things that we do to them. We're the family, the parents. So what you're telling me is we create criminals in our own homes?
Absolutely. Based on what we're feeding them or like thereof.
Oh, man. I tell you, so here's a question. Here's a question, and I'm sure this question would have answered already about pneumonia and the lungs. You know, why are people dying in the hospital? They get pneumonia first, then die. And I think you kind of answered it a little bit, but her problem is her cousin has double pneumonia, and they can't seem to do anything about it. They put her on a respirator. That didn't help. And she's concerned about her well-being and her health. So it went from pneumonia to double pneumonia. Can you offer any type of information regarding that? It's a question.
Yes, here's the thing. The drugs has no nutrients for the cells to do their job. It has no resources for the cells. They are temporary to stabilize the person. That's what drugs are for. To stabilize the person. Once the person has been stabilized, now they have to proceed to deal with the therapeutics that give the cell what they need. So there's several things that's going on. The person has a weak heart. That's the fluid buildup. Weak heart. That's what it's telling the person. Your heart is weak. And what did I say earlier? There's a rule, a universal law. Whatever is weak must be strengthened. Or otherwise, you're in violation. Doesn't make any difference who the person is, where they were born, when they were born. None of that makes a difference. You're in violation of the law. So that will cause a disease itself. So in order for a person to breathe, they must have hemoglobin, iron-rich blood. If we eat the wrong food, they will be iron inhibitors. Eating the wrong food will block iron from going into the cells. It is iron that must be attached to the hemoglobin. Why iron? Because iron represents force. It represents energy. It represents power, pressure, strength. All these things is what the person needs for the lungs to work properly. For the heart to work properly, it needs iron and hemoglobin for the blood to be properly circulated to all of the tissue, organs, and everything. So the person been eating poison does now have compromised their health. Now what they need to do, they must ironize those three things. I said ionization, hydrolyzation, and oxidation. Those are the three processes to remove the poison from their cells. To remove that poison and also change the diet so the person is eating hem iron from animal and not non-hem iron from plants. Plants do not have to move. They don't have to get up and run. They don't have to do anything. They're stationary. They're non-ambulatory. So the iron that they produce for themselves is not the iron that we need. If we eat plants which have non-hem iron, we must have an enzyme to transfer them into hem iron. Most of us do not have those enzymes. But you can learn to produce them by coming to synthometry. They take non-hem iron from plants and turn them into hem iron. That's what animals are able to do. They eat plant food because they have the enzyme to transfer non-hem iron from plant to hem iron for their use. Animals, goat, sheep, rabbits, those things that eat plant food, they can do it and be looking for more because they have the right enzyme. So you come to synthometry, remove the concretion, the blockage, and all those things that prevented the person from producing the enzyme to attach hemoglobin to the red blood cell so that all of the cells of the person's body, including the heart and the lung, will receive the energy they need to repair the DNA, the genes and the chromosomes, and all those things that we mentioned earlier. It's all connected. And they have to produce hormones to control fluid level in the body. There's certain hormones, all those steroids, that control the fluid level. And you have all these things, put them back in the balance, and the person's health will be restored. But drugs won't do it. And the oxygen in the oxygen tank, Rashid, won't do it because that is not hemoglobin. There's no iron attached to the oxygen tank oxygen tank air. It will help the person to breathe, but it would do nothing for the lungs and nothing for the heart and the other organs. They will continue to deteriorate. I hope they understand what I'm saying.
Yes, sir. You know, if a doctor diagnoses you, you run to him when you have a problem. Well, you're being diagnosed tonight, people. I want you to understand something. We're being diagnosed tonight without even telling us what the problem is, because I know good and well this information is resonating in your mind. So the opportunity to, when you say come to Satoshi, come to the doctor. Let the doctor help you with your problems that you're experiencing right now. This is sad when someone can give you information and you don't move on it, but you run to Dr. Frankenstein. I don't get that. Dr. Frankenstein has never given us any information that helps the human being, as you just heard about the oxygen and information of that nature. So I want to open up a line here. We have 219-484. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Jamal.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Yes, sir, Dr. Jamal. Assalamu alaikum.
How you doing?
Wa alaikum assalam. You know, I'll be brief, very brief, but I couldn't help but notice when our urologist, Mark, said plandemic.
Yes, sir.
Pandemic.
Yes,
plandemic.
Yes.
You know, Allah bless this brother with so much insight, you know, just to term it that way, plandemic.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's
so
what
it's much to be said to that. But I just quickly wanted to say, you know, in your efforts and your system of treating the cause to the effects, or understanding that the cause is where the real problem is, and it's very simplistic once you understand the biological makeup of operations within our body.
The system,
you know,
absolutely.
That's the key to everything, you know, and sociology and psychology is the same system. I mean, it's not biological, but it's above, you know, with the social and the mental part of recognizing the cause to the effects. And so that is the key. And so, you know, just to refresh the audience remembrance on what they should be doing immediately, what can I do immediately? And again, I want you to reemphasize the fact to get the dictionary so that you can start learning the terminology that you are speaking of, and the two books that you have recommended that we should read as not knowing where to start. You know, so if you can refresh the community on those three points, the dictionary and the two books that you have suggested, and, you know, that's basically it, what I want to share. In the 30 minutes I've tuned in, it's a wealth of information. The other thing is, I've been blessed, you know, not to have any what they call a cold in the last 20 years. I got symptoms this week where I had irritation in my throat, but I knew exactly what to do, and I will share. Cod liver oil by Norwegian. The Norwegian brand only is very expensive. It's $30 for a bottle of Norwegian by Norwegian, but it's cod liver oil and C and D vitamins by Puritan products only. Puritan products. So those three things, the C and D and the cod liver oil by Norwegian, you know, in less than 12 hours, my body had rejuvenated itself, and so that symptom that was there has disappeared under the rock. So I just wanted to share that, but, you know, for us to catch up with where you are and what you're expressing as far as getting to the causes of knowing how basically how our bodies, biological bodies, operate and get on top of it. And it's the Khalifa, that's part of that. It's getting on top of your biological essence. And so Allah has blessed you to share that, and I'm going to quit now. And so you all move forward. We'll move forward together. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you for your call, Dr. Rashid. Press one on your way out, and we have another hand raised. Just another question. Looks like Imam
When we get ready to leave, we're missing those two books.
Very good. All right, but Imam Naeem Pasha.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. I just wanted to share with the listening audience and the doctor. I know he's already aware of this. It's just my phraseology to say the same thing he's saying. But he talked about that mindset and just being out there in the field, starting with the Nation of Islam and with the teachings of Imam Waterfuddin Muhammad Rahim Alayhi. I found that it's hard for us to let our ego accept the fact that we're in collusion with our own victimization. I'm killing myself. I'm doing it slowly, but I'm the culprit, and you're telling me I don't want to hear that. I want to hear
exactly.
That the white man is doing it, the Arab is doing it. I want to hear everybody's doing it but me, and I know that,
exactly.
that you can relate to that. That people come to you, and they're in deep denial, and they don't want to hear what you're saying because they realize
absolutely.
I can take responsibility for my own life and my own future, and you just told me, and nobody else told me, so I don't want to hear that. And the second thing that goes with that, we start counting rather than doing what counts. So
exactly.
we say to ourselves, that many people can't be wrong. So I'm going to take the one person that's telling me what's right to be wrong because that many people can't be wrong.
Exactly.
That's the second one of our mindsets that gets in the way. And the last one is that, and I found this so much, even today it still applies. I found it maybe 40 years ago. He who needs the most listens the least.
Absolutely.
Wow.
So I just wanted to share that, man. I know, like I said before, there's other words that you use to say the same thing, but that's what I found. Those three things are very much prevalent, and they get in the way, and we become our own worst enemy.
That's absolutely true,
yeah.
And that is all
absolutely.
Those are truths that you have expressed.
Absolutely. We could stop the show with that one. I'm saying we basically
said all.
Yeah, you know, but I send these notices out to over 150 people every single week, and some people just afraid to come and listen to the truth. But let me just say this one thing before you go any further, and it kind of ties into what you're talking
mm-hmm.
about. We know, I think we talked about this on our show about soil and how in 1935 Congress knew that the contaminants and the toxins they were putting in the soil, at some point in time it was going to cause problems, you know. So it was said that if you don't quit putting these things in the soil in 1935, they said in 50 years we'll be dying some things that we never knew before. So
exactly.
What you were talking about, the sick soil creates a sick
yes.
plant. A sick
yes.
plant creates a sick animal when the animals eat it, and we eat the animals so we become sick people. And this is
absolutely.
So simple to know. It's just so simple that it's hard for people to grasp their head around this, that they know how to cure a lot of this stuff. They know misinformation, disinformation. But at the same time, we always say you follow the money trail, you follow the problem. And
yep.
so the money, and I think Mark brought up an excellent point about these masks and how
yeah.
people are, how younger people are getting sicker now because they're making the mandate. They sit in a classroom 7-8 hours with a mask on. I mean, can you imagine the state that these children are in? They come delusional. As you talk about, some of them get vertigo. They fall out. They faint. They get sick. And they can't think. They can't
yes.
process information. We're going to have to educate ourselves so we can save our babies. It's just so important. So I just wanted to say that part. And
very important. Very important.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to say about oxygen again. You know, death has always been a mystery because it has been misconstrued as a call for the Creator for heavenly duties.
Mm-hmm.
But the Creator sent us here. We don't need to be where He is. We have a duty and responsibility and a role and mission here on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
So many people say death is a program for ending our journey on earth. and that we've reached a conclusion. There's no end to life. Life is continuous. We just transfer from one stage to another stage, and that's what's going to continue to happen when we share this body. We're going to transfer back in and on the destiny that the Almighty has for us. That's what's going to happen. But we are here to learn, and we are here to make a difference. So it's unfortunate that the way many people, that's what death is all about. Here's the thing. It is the role of oxygen played in our cell that is very important. Oxygen is the life giver. And if we know how to keep oxygen in all our 11 systems and in the 75 trillion cells, the body will keep on existing and health will be enhanced and our life will be enhanced. Oxygen is the mother of all energy in the body. That's a resource that our cell must have. And we said earlier that we made some collagen, protein, and this is why oxygen does not circulate freely in the human body. It must be attached to hemoglobin in the red bone marrow. This is where it takes place. That oxygen is called oxyhemoglobin. Big H, little B, big zero, that the chemical structure for it. HbO2, oxyhemoglobin. Artificial oxygen that is stored in the oxygen tank is not the same as oxyhemoglobin. It can help a person breathe, like we said earlier, but it will never cure hypoxia, lack of oxygen. It will never cure it.
Mm.
And the organ, the lungs, the heart, and the other organ will still be compromised and unhealthy. That oxygen that's in that oxygen tank on a respirator, on a ventilator, would not improve the quality of those organs, the lung and the heart, especially, and the brain. No. Won't work.
I think that's important, if
oxygen is not being, is hemoglobin not being attached, and you're not producing oxyhemoglobin, the carbon dioxide is going to attach itself to. And then if you're not doing anything to correct the problem, that carbon monoxide was transferred into carbon monoxide, suffocating the person. And that's how the person would die. And when the person is most vulnerable, Brother Rashid, there's microbes already in us. By that time, we have many growth factors. That's food for microbes to feed on us from the inside out. And that's what would be happening. Those microbes that's inside of us already, they're circulating in that blood. They're in us already. But since they are out, number, the number has multiplied because we have food now. Not only the virus that we have to deal with, we have the other microbes inside of us. They're out of number because now we have food that they're feeding on. Those microbes would team up, Brother Rashid, and there's a slit in our throat where our trachea is. There's a slit in the throat, in the inner lining of the trachea, called a glottis. G-L-O-I-T-I-S. That's a slit that air comes through. And when those microbe blood bacteria are out of balance, they team up with other microbes, and they go straight to that little slit where air comes through, and they create unbearable conditions where stasis takes place. And you have compromise of the glottis. And it will close up, swell and close up. And that's the end of the person's death because they will not be able to breathe. No air will come through. That's the process of dying. Our body becomes so sick, it has growth factor for the microbe. They team up, and we have the compromise of the paralysis of the glottis in the story.
Yep.
And they're going to say on that little clipboard, they died of natural causes. That's what they're going to say. We did all we could.
You know,
that's
I mean,
not good enough, Brother Rashid.
Yes, sir. What a classroom. Ladies and gentlemen, this is IWDM Radio, the science of health in you. Just let me share something with you real quick. We're in a process of teaching the 11 systems of the human body. Those of you who missed the first three sessions, you have an opportunity to get those recordings by contacting us. You have an opportunity to catch up in the classroom. So we get to the 11th system and then go back and begin to show how all of this stuff interreaction, interrelates with each other. This is an amazing opportunity for us to be in a classroom where medical professionals are giving us the information that we need to sustain our lives. So you know other people who you know have a problem, who don't know what you're hearing tonight, and you have to go and talk to your family members. You have to get your children on the line. This is a wonderful science class for our children. This is fantastic information that definitely does what? Save our lives. When I say we're in the science of helping you, we are talking about you. Specifically you. Everything about the 11 systems is about you. And we walk around with it 24/7, and we don't know how it works. And we're getting some beautiful information tonight. Thank you for that one piece right there, my brother. I'll be studying on that all week long. So I'm going to be bringing in another phone call here. We have 623-363. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Good evening. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Darren Clanton. I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona. I have been catching you guys on a couple of evenings. I'll say when I've been a little more focused to get you at the beginning of things. But everything that I've heard so far has been pretty amazing. I'm very, I want to say I thank the Creator, I thank Allah for blessing you to be able to give up this information. I'm interested myself in signing up, so I'd like to get some information. I'm not sure if you put that out earlier in the evening because I missed about the first 15 minutes. But I'll say to sign up for the 11 classes, I believe it is.
Yes, that's the 11th system. That's what we engage in now. Every night, I mean, every time we meet, that's what we're talking about addressing. I think this tonight is this
is number the fourth
four.
Class.
Week we're going to be talking about the lymphatic system and the immune system. They're combined.
I think what he said, Abdul, he wants to get into the cytology class.
I'm definitely looking for more information, I'll say, you know, regarding your organization and how I could sign up and truly
excellent.
You know, study.
Excellent. That's what we need. That's what we want. Yeah. That's what we're looking for. People just like you to do that. Because we can do our own research now. We develop our own research team.
Right.
And we have our practitioner. And we need to be everywhere. And this is how we remake the world, that mission we've been on. We remake ourselves and produce the very best possible person that we can become. By curing all our diseases and nourishing our brain. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Okay. So we'll be giving our contact information before we leave the call, inshallah. And then you have that, then we'll proceed.
Pad and paper out, and then we'll be able to transfer this. What are we going through right now? What are we going through right now? Every Tuesday from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock, we are teaching some of the same things that you get in your classroom, but more extensive. This
exactly.
is for us. Myself and Abdul got together one day. I said, man, we got to share this with the world, man. And so the first thing we thought of is doing a separate podcast, a separate radio program, and IWDM was available to us. So we used this mechanism to teach. Our goal is to get to every and anybody we possibly can. And those of you who are on the telephone, we ask that you be good missionaries.
share this information with your family. Just like I shared this information with my daughter, who called me. I'm not a doctor, but she knew good and well all her life being in my care. I didn't take her to the doctor. I didn't let the doctor tell her, give me this and give me that, pills and all that type of thing. So this is what happened. This is how we continue this legacy, this educational legacy. And I just want to say something, Instructor Abdul, the mind, our brain functionality.
Yes.
How is this misinformation, not knowing how to deal with the problems that we're experiencing, and we look at what's going on with being able to process all this information that's being bombarded on us with the television, with the news, with this fear tactics, the anxiety, the stress levels of our people. We have people who won't even touch each other and live in the same house. You know,
exactly.
Some of the people, because you didn't take the vaccine, you know, I'm not going to talk to you. I mean, what a ridiculous thing to say to somebody. But see, the fact is, we don't know. We don't know. So we have to get past this. We have to educate people about this. And we know we need more people like Darren to call up and say, how to get in this class? Because you can be an instructor just like Abdul Shaheed is currently.
Absolutely.
You can share this
and
information.
That's what we need, teaching people.
And we have articles that are available on prostate, articles on diabetes, articles on high blood pressure. There's so many articles that's readily available right now without even being in the classroom.
Exactly.
So we ask that you continue listening. More importantly, we ask that you share with other people that you know, because if you love for your brother what you love for yourself, you know, you want to share this information. And people are going to do one thing. They're going to reject it. Why? Because we're under auspices of mass psychosis. We believe everything
Absolutely.
Master say. I just hate to say it like that. If Master didn't say it, we just don't do it. And Pasha made a very powerful statement. Those who the people who need it are the ones. I mean, it's unbelievable how brainwashed we are. We have to say it like that. So we have to wash our brains and unlearn to relearn and continue working hard at getting right with ourselves, you know, because if we don't get ourselves right, how do we help anybody else? And, you know, when you hear me say the word self, take the F off. You know, it's self. In a sense, you look at the language. You know, they're telling us in one sense and not telling us in another, and we're bombarded
right.
with this language problem, this information problem that we're going to have to get away from. So we got 7 minutes to go, and anyone who wants to raise their hand, please press 1 on your phone. We're going to start winding down, even though we have 3 hours. And you know, sometimes we don't want to overwhelm our instructor because he has other classes, other things to do, because he's married. He's got to take care of his business as well. So he's in Georgia.
Yeah,
so
man,
right now,
people are going to call me for a consultation.
So we're not going to overwhelm you tonight, and we don't have a lot of people raising their hands tonight. But once you pass out, give out your phone number, also the website, and I think Dr. Jamal Rashid mentioned some books and materials that we could do our own research, our own studying. The beautiful part about this, you have an opportunity to have access to a website with the same information we're talking about tonight. You can begin to study
same information.
The words
Absolutely.
That he's using tonight. You have dictionaries and books that you can get to learn more about it. So it's just an outstanding opportunity, and I just share it with everybody, every opportunity I get. And we should all do the same thing and not be afraid to ask questions. Some of us is on this phone right now. You know good well your knee hurts. You know good well your back probably hurts. You know good well you're not eating the right food. Ask the question.
Exactly.
You know, we're just friends. It's a family affair, like Mark say. This is a family affair. So let's take advantage of it. It'll be a family. So go ahead, Instructor Bilal. I mean, Instructor Abdul Shaheed.
Yes, sir. We certainly appreciate the opportunity, Brother Rashid. to share this information, to be on with you. You are a co-host and as well as our engineer. It's excellent, excellent. So we'd like to give out our information for anyone who want to contact us for further information, how to become a student of centometry or how to become a self-coach, because that's what how we start off. We take care of ourselves first. And then we are able to teach others, share it with our family, our friends, our associates, and then the community. This is how it's done. So there's a website. I'll share the website first. And this website is the website for the American School of Symptometry. And that website is amsos.org. amsos.org. That's the website for the American School of Symptometry. You go there, you see information about the school. You also find information about all of the different, many of the different diseases that we're all suffering, that many of us are suffering with. They give you more detail, more understanding of where that disease came from, what activated it, what started it, and what you have to do to address it, to correct the problem. The article, many, many articles now that have been posted there for your information. And we have the best research team in the country. So we have our own research team now to rely on, our own scientific verification that we can rely on. And the American School of Symptometry is teaching more and more researchers so we can verify and confirm our own information. So please go there and check things out. There are two flagship books that Dr. Maxwell Norton has written. He's written over 30 books and even write books for his classes, textbooks for his classes. So those two flagship books, number one is called What to Consume. In that book is the research of Dr. Norton for over 14 years in the laboratory, testing food, beverages, and water. And he put his finding in that book called What to Consume. It is the safest consumable for human being on planet Earth. Safest consumable for human being on planet Earth. If you're going to eat to live, you must use science to select your food. Otherwise, we'd be making too many mistakes. And those mistakes would cause us to activate diseases. That's how it's done. The other book is The Downside of Nutrition. Many of us have heard the upside of nutrition, but there's a downside. Everything comes in pairs. Think about it. There's a downside to nutrition. And it brings our attention to many of the health disruptors that's in the food that we love that's causing our disease. Make the connection. Just read the book. And your own mind will begin to make the connection. And you will begin to go and wonder in your mind, and then you have come to the conclusion, the aches and pains that I have, I ate them because that was the food that I was eating most of the time. That's what that book will help you to figure out.
Oh,
there.
My God.
And there's no mystery. There's no mystery disease. None. Every disease can be explained. And that's what symptomology is teaching us to do, explain every disease. And there's no mystery about it. And every disease has a product that produced it. And that's what symptomology studied, the product that caused the cell to be compromised and to remove those things, removing those things to restore the person's health, to restore our own health. And once we do that, then we can help others. And that is the primary goal. And for us to become disease-free, free of disease, who want to keep having their disease to be treated and taken advantage of? No one. We should demand a cure. When are we going to start demanding a cure? And stop treating symptoms. Symptoms is not the disease. It's the indication that our body is out of balance. That's what the body is telling us. It's speaking to us in a coded language. And symptometric science has broken the code on symptoms. And now we know what the body is saying, speaking to us. So please purchase those two books. You can go to Amazon or you can go to symptometry.com and purchase those books. A couple of days you can have them. And you can be reading them, keeping up with us. And also the same thing about the website, many articles. And the information we draw from those articles we share with everyone. And you can go there and read many of those articles yourself. You don't have to wait for us to do it for you. Also, we have a program.
I was just saying the articles are broken down by months and they archive there. You click on January,
yes.
You look at all the articles that came out in January. Click on February. It is outstanding.
Absolutely amazing what's happening. Yes. And as time go by, many of us will be writing articles. Many of us will be doing research and investigation. Many of us will be, and our children will further this science along, And they will be coming up with more particulates, more molecules, and combination of things to cure diseases. We're just beginning. We need thousands and thousands of people to participate with this so we can leave a legacy behind of curing diseases. Can you imagine, Brother Rashid? That could be our legacy.
What better group of people than the sickest people on the planet?
Exactly. And we can prove that your health can be restored and you can become the most brilliant person on the planet, because now we know how to produce neurons to become brilliance, to make the best of decision, to be the best citizen. That's what our goal has been all the time.
Yeah.
That's our goal. That's what it's been all the time. So people may reach us at 678-572-7269. Again, 678-572-7269. And we have email. You can reach us at ashaheed2@gmail.com. ashaheed2@gmail.com. And I was about to say that we also have a program on AM360 every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. That program is called Optimal Health. Please tune in to us. Join us every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And you may participate and listen in by dialing either of these two numbers, 515-605-9891. Again, 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Again, 425-292-4253. And Brother Rashid, next week we're going to be addressing the lymphatic system and the immune system combined. And then we'll be on
goodness.
System number 5. And that's going to give us an opportunity to talk about microbes and how to protect ourselves against microbes, those things that we cannot see. They include viruses, bacteria, mold, fungus, yeast, worm we can see and worm we cannot see, protozoans, all these things, flukes, these things are everywhere. They're on those plants that we're eating raw. They're on there. You don't see them, but they're there, and you're eating them raw. You have microbes inside of you. They're already there. You put them there because you ate the salad. You ate the raw plants. Everyone, all of the creatures are trying to eat on plants. You don't think they're going to protect themselves with poison? That's what they do. They want to live too. They don't want to just be eating. Just think. All we have to do is just think about it. Every creature with DNA, Brother Rashid, every creature with DNA has a defense mechanism.
And an intelligence as well. We don't even think that plants
have intelligence. And the human being defense mechanism is our intelligence. If we don't use it, we have no defense. And we must blame ourselves for not using our intelligence we've been gifted with. So the Almighty gifted each one of us with a human body. It is our responsibility to take care of it. No one else. No one else. We all have a body. And we're responsible for it. And we're going to be held into account. Believe that or not. It doesn't make any difference what you believe. It's the truth. Don't need your consent. Don't need your consent, your agreement. That's
you
the
know,
main thing about truth.
I'm
going to turn it back over to you.
Yeah, I just want to, I don't know if you have 5 minutes or not, but I just want you to address this question that was sent to me on Alzheimer's and dementia. And I know next week we're going to really get into that. That's a nice question to ask, because I know the microbes and things that you're talking about are going to share and show us some of those things. But this is something, the question that she gave it to me earlier, I forgot to ask her, but she's still on the line. Dementia and Alzheimer's. We talked about that a couple classes back, but can you just take 3 or 4 minutes and just get them prepared for next week, because they're regular on the show every week.
Excellent. Alzheimer, dementia, they're all in the same category, the progression. First, it starts off as forgetfulness. We walk into a room and we forget why we went in there. That's a sign right there. We go in the kitchen, we get something, we forget to close the drawer up. We forget to close the cabinet. We put our keys down, and we take 2 days to try to figure out where we put them. Those little things. And that would progress from forgetfulness to dementia from to senile, and from senile to full-blown Alzheimer, where the person will even forget their name, who they are, where they live at. They will leave home and not be able to make it back. And the disease is so debilitating that someone has to begin to take care of them eventually. But like we said before, all diseases are curable, Alzheimer included, dementia included. It starts off with the brain is impoverished. And if the brain is not able to, the brain cells are not able to produce, the brain essential to keep the brain healthy, because we're not feeding it the right raw material, then the brain itself, the neural fiber level cells, will produce plaque. They will produce plaque to take the place of the essential that should be in the brain. This is so powerful that the microbes that's in our blood will feed on our brain. And when they do an autopsy on a person who has Alzheimer, the brain has reduced size. It's no longer 3 pounds. It's less than 3 pounds, 2.5 pounds, 2 pounds. How is that possible? Because the microbes have been feeding on it. I'm sorry to be graphic, but I want to get people's attention. If things are out of balance, we have heavy metals from the food that we're eating. We have heavy metals from the beverage that we're drinking. We have heavy metals from the air that we're breathing. All these things are in the air. It's in the food. It's in the water. Man has managed to pollute everything. These heavy metals, these toxins, these poisons from the air, from the water, from the food, from the beverage must be removed. Scientology has devised a method to remove them. I've already given those three processes. They're called ionization, oxidation, and hydrolysis. Those are the three ways to remove those things from our body. Pure oxygen, we have to sanitize our blood. We have to remove poison from our blood because blood goes everywhere. It goes to our brain. If we have poison and toxin from the food that we've been eating, it's going to be in the blood. Just going to the health food store and getting some supplement is not going to purify and sanitize your blood. It's not going to do it. There's not enough power and strength and pressure and speed in there to do it. We have to use subatomic particles to do it. You know, I tell people this, but they'd still rather go to the health food store and get something and claim that they're sanitizing their blood. Oh, yeah. I get something from Dr. Frankenstein. Drugs do not work because there's no nutrients. Our cells are made of water and nutrients. Water and nutrients. And that's what we have to give them, water and nutrients. But all food is not the same. All water is not the same. And all beverages are not the same. We have to get the scientific evidence to distinguish them, and we should give ourselves what they need and what they require. If we do these things and remove the concretion from the brain cells and begin to produce neurons again, and begin to produce neurochemicals and hormones. See, it is neurons. A person who has Alzheimer, the neurons that are remaining, because they can't produce fresh neurons, the ones that are remaining are calcified because the person has been consuming saturated fat. They eat nuts and seeds. They eat salads. They eat butter and margarine. They drink milk. All of these things. They drink coffee and tea. All of those things have poison. You don't have to agree with me. I'm just telling you the proven scientific facts have been proven in a laboratory. Dr. Norton used 3 different levels of chromatography machine to determine what's in those things. And that's when they were revealed. And he put his finding in a book, What to Consume and the Downside of Nutrition. Get the book. Yes, sir. Read it for yourself.
I know.
So I'm going to bug you because my brother, Imam Nazim Pasha, he hit me again, so I know he got something he want to say. So this is the last question
no
for the night, if you don't mind. All right, brother.
No, I don't mind. I'm here. I'm here for the duration.
Very good. Nazim, go ahead.
No, I'm seeking solutions, and what I didn't get was the phone number. I got the first part, and I didn't get the last part. If I could get the two phone numbers again, I would greatly appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to give my phone number. Then I'm going to give the phone number for the Optimal Health call on AM 360. My phone number, if you need to reach me, you can send an email or give me a call. That number is 678-572-7269. Again, 678-572-7269. And the email is ashaheed2@gmail.com. ashaheed2@gmail.com. And Shaheed is spelled S-H-A-E-E-D. S-H-A-H-E-E-D. And the two numbers for Optimal Health on the program every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. And we share similar information that we're sharing tonight on that program. Excellent program, we think. An excellent platform. So in order to participate, all you simply have to do is to call in by using either one of these two numbers, 515-605-9891. Again, 515-605-9891. Or 425-292-4253. That's 425-292-4253. And I think that's
all right, my brother. Yes, sir. Well, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, we really want to appreciate you. I know our show is commercial free, so you can get all this information real quick. And so we look forward to every Tuesday. We're on the fourth system of the 11 systems of our human anatomy. So I want you guys to make sure you tell somebody, share with somebody that information as we move forward. And the information that we provide here is also recorded. So you have an opportunity to, if you contact me at 650-669-0458, that's 650-669-0458, send me a text, and I'll make sure you get a copy of this show tonight or any show that you missed in the past. We've only been on the air since November, and it's an incredible ride, and we thank you for the journey. We thank you for the process that we're on.
Yes.
And we have Dr. Jamal, I think it's him again, 219-484. I know he has something to say before you get off. We're going to let you get out of here, okay?
Yes, sir. Dr. Maybe Jamal? I didn't mention the dictionary or something.
Yes, that's it. Exactly. He didn't mention the dictionary, so just if you can brief the audience quickly on the dictionary that you recommend.
Yes, I'll mention the dictionary again. I just bought it, Dr. Jamal,
so I know what you're saying. This is important.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. This dictionary, over 300,000 entries. This is the Webster Encyclopedia Unabridged Dictionary of the English Language. Excellent book. It is just loaded. And many of the terminologies found in this book that we use let you know that this is not made up science. This is science based on the creation itself. And there's another medical dictionary. I'm going to give you that too. This is Durland, D-O-R-L-A-N-D, apostrophe S. It is the Illustrated Medical Dictionary, the 30th edition. This thing goes back hundreds of years. And the terminology and the meaning of these words are inscribed in this book to prove that symptometry is based in science and able to cure diseases. Back in the 1700s, 1800s, there were scientists back then that stumbled upon the same therapeutics, but they took a different direction because got them interested in just treating symptoms rather than curing diseases.
Sounds like money to me.
That's what it was. They were money motivated rather than being, you know, curious
people.
People
motivated.
More
right.
money
no
in
money.
More money in,
right.
in research and treating rather than curing diseases and teaching
yeah,
people
sure.
how to cure diseases, teaching people to be healthier.
Well, they've been
why.
Talking about it for a long time. So we know sick
Absolutely.
Souls, sick plants, sick people. We do know that. And we'll thank you again, let you get away. We kind of pushed you overboard a little bit. That's why I opened it up for 3 hours just in case things do go a little bit overboard. But thank you so much, Instructor Abu Shaheed. We look forward to seeing
you
next Tuesday, same time, same
yeah.
place. And we'll be able to share information with you. So thank you very much for that opportunity. So I just want to let everyone
Thank
know
you.
That this is the Science of Health and You. My name is Rashid Salam, and I am your host and your engineer. And please tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell someone about what's taking place here. This is therapeutic. We know that symptometry is a field of therapeutics that focuses solely on the well-being of the living cell. It achieves its objective by emphasizing cell nutrition, blood sanitation, and regular cell maintenance. So with that, we want to let everybody know that IWDM Radio has many shows that take place through the course of the week. And we're going to bring our public broadcaster, our PSA announcer on board today, and let him close out and let you know what's going on tomorrow, what's going on for the rest of the week, our shows that you may be interested in. Mark Shaheed, close us out, will you please?
Yes, assalamu alaikum to you, Rashid Assalam, and to you, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. Such an excellent production tonight, Rashid Salam and Instructor Abdul Shaheed. So much great information. We should have a better understanding of how that respiratory system works tonight, and hopefully everybody took good notes. Want to say to those who listen to IWDM Radio to please come back tomorrow as the beat goes on with the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab tomorrow, the first Wednesday of the month of March. This month, I will have a special guest facilitator, and that person is no stranger to many that are listening to our sister station, AM 360. None other than Dr. Sister Mother Baiza Muhammad will be joining me as we're doing an accelerated version of 21 Indispensable Essential Qualities of a Leader. And of course, relationship is very important. And so that's what the topic will be tomorrow in terms of parents teaching our children the importance of relationship and how to relate. So you don't want to miss that. And that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And, of course, following that at 8 p.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time is the MGM Roundtable. And tomorrow we'll have a very, very special guest, one of my very learned imams, the Midwest convener and the national convener of imams, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, will be joining me at the MGM Roundtable. So you don't want to miss that. And the topic we'll be talking about, our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, and his contributions and his interaction with Imam W.D. Muhammad and what the national conveners of imams and sectional imams have come up with. I also just want to let you know, we'll be making some commentary because I've been getting a few calls in regards to the speech by Minister Farrakhan this past weekend for the Savers Day, and I will be making some commentary on that speech. So please tune in tomorrow, Wednesday, here on IWDM Radio. Also on Thursday, it's the Sister Learning Lab. It's the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with our beloved Sister Quran Shakir from the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be joining yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And we'll have a special guest, and you just heard him tonight calling in, none other than my good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha, will be the special guest facilitator as we are talking about the 25 do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship. So you don't want to miss that. Please tune in. And we have a theme here. This is a family affair. So all of these productions is a family affair. So invite the immediate family and also invite the extended family. That means that your immediate family, those that are near and dear to you, and your friends and your associates and your neighbors and your community members, that's the whole family. So invite them as you love for your brother and sister, what you love for yourself. And then Friday, we know that's a lot to Jumu'ah Day, and for those of you who are immobilized or for whatever reason you can't get out and about to your local masajids and Islamic centers, you can come back to IWDM Radio and share Salatul Jumu'ah with Imam Michael McHale Sahir, longtime resident Imam of Al-Nur Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. And Salatul Jumu'ah begins here on IWDM Radio at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir. And the longest-running production here on IWDM Radio, Words Make People. Once again, with the very distinguished esteemed Imam Michael Mikhail Sahir. And that begins each and every Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. You always have very intriguing guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And I think it might be a pretty hot topic come this Sunday, given in lieu of what has transpired over the last few days. So you want to tune in for that. And then that brings us back around to the beginning of the week. And as you heard, Rashid Salam, that this production is still relatively new, but it's growing very, very fast and capturing the attention of the people as it began in November of 2021. The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, hosted by Rashid Salam, and also a recurring co-host, excellent co-host, and a teacher, instructor of centometry, Dr. Abdul Shaheed. And so if you if you missed tonight's production, you most certainly want to get that, and I'm quite sure that Rashid Salam will tell you before he close out how you can retrieve this excellent production. We do ask that you bring pen and pad, an open heart and open mind to all of these learning labs. Very, very important, take good notes, and always, you're always invited to ask questions and make comments on all of these productions. We also want to remind you to also listen in to our beloved sister, Fitra Muhammad, as she is the founder and the CEO of Study Al-Islam, that comes on each and every Sunday. If you're in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it's 10 a.m. for you. If you're in the Central, it's 9 a.m. And if you're out on the West Coast, Pacific Coast Time, it is 7 a.m. Some of the most outstanding intellects in our community appear on there and making excellent presentations, as Fitcher and Muhammad always have excellent topic matter. I think that after this week, there'll be a little break session there, and Ramadan is fast approaching. I think we're just about out of the month of Rajab, which is the seventh month, and we'll be going in a day or so into the eighth month, which is Shaban, and then, of course, we know that the ninth month is Ramadan. So we ask that you do stay tuned here for IWDM Radio for any program changes to be able to accommodate the hosts and also those of you who are Muslims who tune in and listening in. We ask that you stay tuned for that. And last but not least, the IWDM Radio here, we do support the Muslim Journal with our beloved sister, Professor Aisha K. Mustafa, longtime editor of the Muslim Journal. Have an excellent staff, have been sacrificing for many years to make sure that we keep the lifeblood. I know Abdul Shaheed is talking about the blood in our body and how it has to be oxygenated and all, but we also have to keep that community blood, which is the Muslim Journal. And if you're a Muslim, you should be reading the Muslim Journal. So we do ask that you continuously donate to that. Go to the website. And if you got a subscription, think about somebody that you love dearly and then make it a gift for them also. So with that being said, Rashid Salam and Abdul Shaheed, excellent production tonight. And I always like to say, this salam is for you and yours. Assalamu alaikum. Back to you, Rashid.
All right. Thank you, Mark, and thanks to those who are on the line tonight. And don't forget that we would not have our WDM if it wasn't for you tuning in and being educated about the beautiful aspects of our human being. So, as Mark said, this salam is for you. It's all, folks. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.